Well, our church vision that we've talked about is that we would be people who would behold God. We want to be people who know Him, really, really know Him, who worship Him daily, people who love His Word, and fight hard every day to see Him in His Word. We want to behold God. Number two, we want to belong to one another. We want to be a people who are so connected to one another that we're continually trying to build one another up with the gifts that God has given us, living life together in tight community, meeting together in small groups. We also want to be people who are sent. We want to be people who are sent out locally and globally to share the message of Jesus Christ with others, to those around us in our sphere of influence, and also around the world to those who have no access to the gospel of Jesus. So we come today to week 3 of our strategy, which is called Lengthen and Strengthen. We've been looking at 5 chords, or we could say 5 areas of ministry, or we could say 5 things that we need to work on or do better in, not that we're not doing them. And we talked about, number 1 was prayer. And last week we looked at proclamation of the gospel. In essence, what we're really asking is, what are some ways that we can behold God? What are some ways that we can belong to one another more or be sent out more, right? So prayer, how we can behold God more in prayer, that's an area of our lives that we can really go deeper with God, is in our prayer life. Proclamation of the gospel is us being sent out to those around us and around the world. Parents and children today, number 3. And then planting small groups, more small groups, and missions, or pontata ethne, to all the nations. So as we come today to this topic of parents and children, we need to pray. We need to pray together. So let's do that. Lord, we know that we are obligated to share the gospel with those around us, as we looked at last week. But we also know that we're obligated to pass the faith along to the next generation. So Lord, more than anything today, I pray that You would encourage us, give us energy and motivation and strength to not only lengthen our cord to reach more parents and more kids, but also to strengthen our families. So we pray that You would do that, and Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So really, in many ways, what I'm calling you to today is to pray. So if you're visiting with us, you know, just know that we're in kind of a in-house topic right now, where we're trying to work on and trying to talk about how we can build our church. And I hope that you'll be encouraged as we look at these things. So if you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 78. Which they just read. Psalm 78. We're simply going to look at some passages of Scripture now. So if you have your Bible, you'll need it. They'll be on the screen, but I do hope you have your Bible with you so you can maybe underline, take some notes as well. So Psalm 78, let's take a big drink from God's Word. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your hearts, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might, and the wonders that He has done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Psalm 145, which I read during the prayer, I will extol you, O my God and my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They, meaning the other generation, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our... That's the next one. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, very famous passage of Scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Mark chapter 10, verse 14. Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So the Bible is quite clear that we not only have an obligation, which we talked about last week, to share our faith with those around us, but we also have an obligation to pass the faith along to the next generation. Did you notice those important phrases there? We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation. He commanded our fathers to teach them to the children, that the next generation might know them, that they should set their hope in God. That's what we want. We want the next generation after us to set their hope in God. And they're not going to do that unless we pass it along. One generation, meaning our age group, our generation, shall commend your works to another generation and declare the mighty acts of God. We shall make them known to their children and their children's children. We shall teach them diligently, and fathers shall instruct their children in the Lord. So why did I include... Why in the world did I include parents and children into the strategy 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago? Why did I include parents and children into the strategy of the church? I could have found another P to come up with. Prayer, proclamation of the gospel, planting small groups, pantata ethne, which means all the nations. I could have thought of another P. Putonghua, which is definitely important. And that does fit into parents and children. because there are a lot of parents and children who speak Putonghua. So why? I'll give you the reasons. Number one, as a former missionary, when you go into a culture, one of the things that you want to do is you want to observe in that culture what are the things that are the highest values in this culture. And for sure, one of, if not the highest value in this culture is children, family. Second reason is one of the areas that people say they need the most help in these days is how to be a better parent and how do I be a better husband and wife. So many, many churches in mainland China, massive survey was done and said, what do you need? And they said, we need help. How to be better parents and how to be better husbands and wives. As Christians, number three, the third reason. So the first reason is looking at the culture, it's a strong value. Number two, it's a need. Number three, as Christians, we are commanded by God to pass the faith along to the next generation. In fact, we must. Because if we don't, then there will be no believers. Because all of us are headed toward the end of our lives. And what's going to happen if we, let's say my family, if we don't pass the faith along to our children, then our family will not be believers. We told our children at dinner last night, during our devotion time, I said, look, if you guys don't pass the faith along to your children, then our family won't be believers. So we're only one generation away from being unchurched or without Christ. So we must pass the faith along. Number five, we need to reach out externally. Or number four, we need to reach out internally in this area inside our church. We need to continue to train moms and dads and future moms and dads, a lot of you, to be good parents and how to bring your children up in the Lord so that they will hope in God and not forget God. And then number five, we need to reach out externally to reach out to many parents and children in our area who are unchurched or have never heard the gospel before. So today, really, those last two is what I want to focus on, is growing our church internally and growing our church externally, reaching out or lengthening that cord to more and more parents and children. And like I said, to be honest, I'm really calling you to pray today. Because I'm not going to give you any cool ideas. I don't really have anything up my sleeve, as you can tell. I don't really have anything. I'm going to whip out some, this is how exactly it's going to happen. You know how it's going to happen? It's going to happen because we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God, what do you want us to do? There's no cookie cutter approach. You don't just jump on the bandwagon of whatever's, you know, someone else is doing and expect it to work. You know, we need to ask God what we need to do. So we need to pray. So this cord is a double-stranded cord, woven together. One is internally and one is externally. So let's talk about internally. Internally, it's my hope that we will continue to train families to behold God together. To behold God together. And by that, I don't mean just coming to church. That is one aspect, but just coming to church is not necessarily going to train your children or pass the faith along to the next generation. What I mean is this: dad leading primarily, and mom leading when dad cannot or will not. Families who read the Bible together. Families who do family worship together. Families that, as Psalm 78 said, arise and they tell what good things God has done to their children so that they will hope in God and not forget the works of God but keep His commandments. So if you're in here today and you're single, and you're thinking, this doesn't really apply to me. I don't even have any kids, or I'm not even married yet. Well, you probably will be someday, so maybe this will help you prepare for those days when you will be married or have children, or you can at least reach out to parents and children and serve in the children's ministry if you are not married, which actually most of the people that serve in our children's ministry do not have kids. So here's how we're going to do it, or here's how we can do it. Deuteronomy chapter 6 gives us a little bit of instruction. Deuteronomy 6, if you have your Bible, Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, that famous passage. There's two things in there very important. Number one, it says, "These words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Don't skip over that verse in between "the Lord our God, the Lord is God" is one and the other. "But these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk down the way and when you lie down and when you rise." So first, mom and dad, the word has to be in your heart. What did he say? "This word, these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." First, mom and dad, it's really not the part that we like so much. We'd rather just have like a system and be able to do it, and it kind of produces wonderful children. Well, the system is, there's no foolproof way. God's grace is what's going to make your children follow the Lord, but it sure does help. If you love the Word of God. If you love the Word of God. There's no faking it. You cannot fake it. You cannot tell your kids, you really need to love God's Word. You really need to follow the Lord. And then you not do it yourself. They see right through it. It won't work. We have to love the Word of God if we want our kids to love the Word of God. Pure and simple. You want to know a really plain reality in life, we end up a lot like our parents. And you're like, "No way, not me." No, we end up a lot like our parents. So the best way to ensure, Elliot, we okay? I keep moving over. I can't really move anywhere else. If I move forward, I'm going to be in front of the speaker. Yeah, let me move backward. So, if we really want our kids to know the Word of God, we need to know the Word of God. Second, we have to actually plan a time, a set time to teach and instruct our kids. And then in the ebb and flow of life that we also, as we're walking with them and talking with them, I think it's the baby monitor, to talk about our great God together. Is there a time in your life when you're instructing your children in the Bible? That's a pretty hard question, isn't it? Is there a time in your life where you're instructing your children in the Bible besides coming to church? So parents, family devotions has to happen. Family devotions has to happen. Now, before I'm too hypocritical, I will say, sometimes we fail. Sometimes we don't do a very good job at it. The truth be known, Amber is much more on top of it to hold me accountable than I am. She's usually saying, "Honey, come on, you remember we needed family devotions." So she's graciously, over the years, she has graciously pushed me and encouraged me to continue to lead out in family devotions. Do I not need a push? I need a push. So my pride, though, has been very flared up at times where I've been like, "No, you're telling me I need to do family devotions, you know." I needed it. So we fell sometimes, but we haven't given up. We've continued to keep going and constantly regroup. So dad or mom, choose a passage in the Bible or use a devotional book, if you have to, that has the scripture in it. And find a time to instruct your kids in the Bible. Listen, just coming to church is not enough. You can't say, "Let's come to church and let's instruct you in the Word. Let's let the church do it." It's not the church's job to instruct your kids in the Bible. It's your job. The church is a help and a supplement to you, but it's our job to do it, Dad and Mom. So do it after dinner time. This is my suggestion. This is what works for us. It may not work for you according to your schedule, but this is what works for us. Do it after dinner time before we even get up from the dinner table. Because if someone gets up from the dinner table, usually the whole thing is shot and it doesn't work. So maybe even as a couple in here, you say, well, we don't have kids yet. Maybe the time that you can spend together is when you have dinner, you're already there together. Then spend some time, just 10 minutes, reading the Word together and spending time together. So the church needs to and wants to train you and provide you and give you the resources to help you parent well and pass the faith along to the next generation, to equip you to bring your children up in the instruction of the Lord. Do I do a perfect job of that? No. But by God's grace, I continue to fight it and persevere and keep going. So I would love to meet you and over coffee or over chai or something like that and share with you what we do, how we do family devotions, and just say, hey, I need some help. I need to know, how can I do this? Provide some resources. I've got an extensive library. Our church has a little bit of a library. How we can help you. That's what we're here for. How can we help you pass the faith along to your children? It's your responsibility, so you need to do it. So internally, we want to equip parents to bring their children up in the instruction of the Lord. Now externally, we need to reach out to more families. We need to reach out to more families. We are surrounded by families. All around us are families, around our neighborhoods, around this school, around UST, in this whole area, people who are unchurched or de-churched, means they've experienced church and they don't want to have anything to do with it anymore, or people who simply have never been to church before. You do know there's lots of people around us that have just, I've never even been to church before. They not only need salvation in Jesus, but they also need help in raising their kids in this environment. So HKUST, we'll go to LG7 today and eat lunch. If you look out on that field on Sunday is absolutely full of parents with kids, most of whom did not go to church today. Pavilia, is it called Mount Pavilia? Maybe some of you have a house over here in this new, bought one of these, you know, like 50,000 a square inch down here down the road. Pavilia, this new complex just behind our church, I believe has 600 units. And our church is the closest church to that complex. It's going to be opening up. I think they're selling them now. Obviously, you see the guys standing in the middle of the road with signs when you go by. So HKUST, got a new complex right here. TKO, just down the hill. Tons and tons and tons of families. Just go to East Point City today or Popcorn Mall or Polam or wherever. Vacation Bible School. Each year we have about 100 kids, which we talked about, game on. They come during the summer. Most of those kids either go to church somewhere else or they don't go to church. So we need to lengthen that cord of reaching out externally to parents and to children. Part of that means we need to continue to enhance and build our children's ministry in such a way that when we invest and invite, that when they come, we can actually meet their needs. You want a shocker? If 50 people came today with kids, we wouldn't be able to meet their needs. If 50 people came today, we wouldn't be able to meet their needs in this room, and we wouldn't be able to meet their needs in the children's ministry because we don't have enough workers. So part of it may mean that you need to help us in the children's ministry and serve there. Would you pray about that? And pray, God, would you make me willing? Or, God, I am willing. And talk to Summa about that. Pray that we can build strong families as we lengthen our ministry to equip parents. Would you pray for outreach to families? Maybe it means that you take some of the cards out on the table that we have there that says our church You know, you can just come over here. We have free parking, a place. We got a church right here close to UST. Maybe it means you take some of those cards and give those out to some people and invite them to church. It's not going to happen. Listen, we're not going to reach parents and children by big events. The truth is, a big event is not going to. A big event here and a big event there may reach some, but how we're really going to reach out to parents and kids is by you and me and you and they investing our lives into another family here and there. Because it's exponential, it's multiplication. We can maybe add some people at an event, but each of us has an sphere of influence with other people that we can reach out to. So church, it's a pretty simple sermon. I'm calling you today to pray. Yes, calling you to lengthen your prayer life, to pray for our ministry to parents and children, and also to lengthen your own willingness. I know many people are tired, but let's keep serving the Lord in the energy and the strength that He provides to willingly invest in other families. Serve in the children's ministry. Serve your neighbors. I know in our village we have 30 homes in our village. We probably have 30 kids. Lots of kids just right there in our village. And I like to say, you're going to hear more about this next week, but the front door of our homes is the side door of the church. The front door of our homes is the side door of the church. You know the truth? Most people do not come to church because they just wake up in the morning and say, hey, I want to go to church through the public door. They're not just going to come through the public door. You know which door they're going to go through? They go through the pier door, the side door of the church. And when people go through the side door of the church, which is your life and your home, they don't usually leave because it's those relationships that keep people in the church. So we need to pray more. We need to lengthen that cord. We need to pray and get on our knees and ask God, God, do whatever you want to do with us. Number two, we need to proclaim the gospel. It actually means us opening our mouths, seeing the obligation that we have and the willingness that we need to have, and not being ashamed and going and talking to people about Jesus and inviting them to church and investing in parents and children, because that's the future. It's the future of Hong Kong. It's the future of this nation if we don't invest in parents and children. We need to say, like God said in His Word, we will not hide what God has done from the children, but we will tell it to the coming generation. Let's pray together. So Lord, I know truth is my words alone cannot really move people. I'm just a man. But Your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I ask that You would do Your work. Do the work that only You can do. I pray, God, I pray that You would fill the parking lot with cars and minivans that have kids and parents in them. Would You do that work, Lord? Fill every seat. Open up the school hall. Fill every parking place. Fill more rooms with children and parents and singles, college students and exchange students, people from every tribe, nation, and tongue. Would You multiply, Lord, our classes? More and more Mandarin-speaking classes, Cantonese, Tagalog, English. We're asking You, Lord, to lengthen our cords, that You would do that work. so that the coming generation around this place will know that you are God and there is no other. We pray in Christ's name.